How long does a Christmas gift last? I remember as a young boy, I had one gift in particular that lasted only a few minutes before it broke. And with the gifts given and received during this Christmas season, how long do you expect them to last before they break, before they need batteries, before the person that you gave the gift to goes on to something different? You know, we give a gift card, but does the money last forever? No, it's eventually spent and used up. Or when we give an ornament, and we put it on the tree, do we expect that ornament to stay up all year long? Or do we expect the person to pack it up with the rest of the ornaments and put it into the box, hoping that it may come out next Christmas? Well, today in our gospel reading for today, we're talking about God's Word as a special, wonderful gift being given to all to last forever. That gift is that Christ child. And it's a gift that we need to utilize not just one day a year or 12 days, but for every day of our lives. It's not a gift you can buy from the store. It's not a gift that can come from anyone else. It comes from God and God alone. And this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, whose birth we celebrated last week, God taking on flesh and blood and dwelling among us. Our text begins with Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to the temple. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And we might say to ourselves, you know, how blessed it was for Simeon and Anna in our text, for they actually had the privileges of seeing Christ. Simeon holding Christ right there in front of them. And we might think to ourselves, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we had that privilege? But actually, we do have that privilege. I'm not talking about time travel. I'm not talking about some science fiction thing about going back in time. No, but something that transcends all time and all space. Obviously, you know I'm talking about our Lord himself. Please remember that we believe, as God's word reminds us, that God comes to us. It was God who takes on flesh and blood. God finds us. Can he find us here in the year 2006? The answer is yes. Let me explain it this way. Where in our liturgy do we use the words of our gospel reading, the words of Simeon? Right after the reception of Christ himself in the bread and the wine. And during this reception, we are connected to Christ, seeing Christ, just as Simeon was told that he would not die until he saw the Christ, so also with us. We not only will see Christ, but we are also connected to him, hence the term communion during the Lord's Supper. I will admit, receiving Christ's body and blood with that bread and wine is a little bit different than holding a baby, but still the same Christ. And if you think about it, raising a child in today's world is extremely difficult and requires a lot of work. But in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Christ comes to you without any work on your part, without any sleepless nights or exhausting your pocketbook. Christ comes to us freely. Now, as the title of this message reminds us, seeing, hearing, and holding the gifts of Christmas, we realize what that ultimate gift of Christmas is, our Lord and Savior, Jesus himself. And that we also need to hold on to our Christmas present. And God says, I'll help you do that. We need to remember that God created us, first of all, with senses. We can smell, we have a sense of sight, taste, hearing, touch. As a result, God reminds us that he uses our senses to communicate. Let's go back for a moment to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There was a special bond and a special relationship between Adam and Eve and the Creator, at least before sin came. And in that special bond, I guess there's no way of describing it except for it is unique. Because once sin entered, once Eve and Adam gave in to the tempter, that special bond was ruined. And since that time, we could only imagine. We will have that special bond again when we are with our spiritual glorified bodies in heaven above. But until that time, we have to realize that by nature, we are separated from God. But please note what happens from Genesis. God, what does he do to create Adam and Eve? What does he do to create the universe? He said, let there be light. God spoke, and his word had action. His word accomplished the purpose. The light didn't sit there and say, I don't know if I think about coming out today. Maybe check back tomorrow. No, the light was created because God spoke it. He didn't think it, but he spoke it. Now notice what the tempter says of Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say? The tempter even picked up on the concept that God spoke his word and accomplished that purpose. See, our original sin, our sinful human nature, still gets the best of us and still wants to put that doubt in within us and says, did God really say he was going to take on flesh and blood? Did God really say his Christmas present to us is going to last for eternity? Is God really with us? The tempter wants to try to get us to doubt God's own word. So God has to come to us again and say, here I am. And so the church celebrates the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, our spiritual deafness makes us spiritually blind and incapable of holding on to God's precious gift. Our sinful human nature is very strong. And we sort of want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, thinking this is all worthless. And I will admit, there are some times when we hear God's word where we might have that reaction. Because what happens when we stumble across a word of God that we really don't like? We don't want to hear. It actually kind of probably occurs in our text for today, verse 35. As Mary and Joseph were probably in awe about everyone giving their child so much attention, once verse 35 came for Mary, that awe might have disappeared really quickly. Verse 35, Simeon speaking, and a sword will pierce your own soul also. There's nothing worse for a parent to lose their child. Mary would have to see her son Jesus die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, that probably pierced her soul during that event. The word of God was true, but maybe not always the word we want to hear. But that doesn't give us a reason to toss out the word of God. We need to continue to hold on to that word of God, whether we like to hear it or not. Our sinful nature, by nature, doesn't want to hear it. But our salvation is dependent upon it. So here we are left with the Sunday after Christmas. And according to the world, Christmas is over. Take a look on your way back home. How many people that you knew had wonderful Christmas decorations out have already put them away? The devil, our old sinful nature, is trying to remind us, Christmas is over. Let's put away that Christ child. We don't need it anymore. Except for our world is still trying to grasp the real meaning of Christmas and maybe ask, is this all there is? One day of celebration and that's it. And if that is our thoughts, well, then we are left with a need for repentance because like Adam and Eve, we've been following the tempter instead of hanging on to what God's word has to say. It seems to us that as soon as we receive this Christmas gift of God himself, we're leaving it. We're abandoning it for something else. That is our nature. So ask yourself honestly, how long did the joy of Christmas stay within you this last year on December 25th? Do we not remember that the Christmas season is 12 days in length? So it's still very appropriate for us to remember Christmas. We're in the season of Christmas. We're singing still Christmas hymns and for us to wish other people a Merry Christmas, even up to 12 days after Christmas. Actually, the church needs to remember Christmas, not just during the Christmas day or the Christmas season, but each and every day. because each and every day we need God's grace. We need God's forgiveness. Each day we need to remember we need a Savior. As a result, God says, I will help you keep that Christmas gift each and every day of your lives. Think of it this way. What would happen if you received a gift that the batteries would never wear out? A gift that would never break? A gift that could never be stolen? I like this analogy. A gift card that never runs out of money no matter how often you use it? Now that's a card I'd like to have. It sounds like the perfect gift. But unfortunately, even with these perfect gifts, we can leave the gift card at home and still be poor. We can abandon the gifts. It's not the gift's fault. The gift is perfect. It's our fault for leaving it or abandoning it. So God continues to remind us how important this gift is so that we would not lose track of it or put it away in some box only to take it out again next year, but to cherish it as the greatest gift in the world. Now, when we're talking about this gift, we have to remember we ourselves were probably babies when this gift was given to us through holy baptism. And just think for a moment. What goes on when a newborn comes to the baptismal font to receive Christ's redemption? They do so by, in one essence, hearing their own names being connected to God's name. Notice that sense of hearing again. And even before they can see who is holding them or even understand the language that is spoken, talk about the power of God's word to communicate before we are able to understand. This is a wonderful mystery that we give great praise and thanks to God. And after that child has been baptized, we then grow. We begin to hear the gospel. Our family encourages us to come to the Lord's house. As we sing God's word, we hear God's word being proclaimed. We are brought to the services of God's house. Our Christian maturity continues to grow. As we read and study God's word, now discerning the truth from the falsehood. Because the tempter is always trying to get us to say, did God really say? And to put doubt into our mind about this wonderful Christmas gift. We put our faith in God, in His wisdom, not our own judgment. Simeon and Anna join all believers by putting their faith in that righteousness of Christ as we hear what is given, despite our fallenness, despite our inconsistency. The hidden Christ is seen and held through our own ears. Our human condition is spiritual deafness. And when you may think, well, we just need a hearing aid to hear God's word a little bit better, but we need more than a hearing aid. We need ears that are recreated. Eyes, arms, and hearts. Recreation is what we need, not extra help from electronic gadgets, like the first creation by God's gracious word. This is why we sing the offertory, singing God's word from the Psalms. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The God who saves is the God who speaks. By God's spoken word, the light and the rest of creation was caused into existence. So when God speaks, there is that positive action. Needless to say, that Moses, Elijah, and all the prophets echoed God's word. And as God the Father said of His beloved Son, He says to us, listen to Him. Now, though we don't always hold and see the Christ child as Anna and Simeon did, but we may also see and behold Him too, in our ears, when we hear His word, and His word has action. No, we don't hold the Christ child as Simeon and Anna did, but we behold His body and blood with that bread and wine. Jesus' own words when He says, this is my body, this is my blood, His words of action accomplish what they promise. Jesus is the word of God. Beheld in a manger, held on the cross, seen in scriptures, held in the sacraments, in order that we may be seen in faith and held in our hearts, so that we may keep and hang on to this Christmas gift so wonderfully given to us, so that we also may have life and salvation. And this is why the sacrament of the Lord's Supper strengthens our faith and benefits the soul, it also benefits the body. As I alluded to, unfortunately, we can reject this gift. Not that the gift wasn't perfect, for it is perfect. But we are the ones that aren't perfect. We are the ones that have a hard time with a true and perfect gift. Yet Christ will keep us and encourage us in this faith, will try to keep us in this relationship, even though our stubbornness is sometimes difficult to overcome. But the power of God is stronger. So how do we keep God's word in our ears this week? We have to remember the words spoken into our ears. The words spoken at the baptismal font, the words spoken during the confession and absolution, the words spoken at the altar, received at the communion rail, the scripture readings, the singing of hymns, and also we need also remember our liturgy. Too often we forget that our liturgy is made up of words of scripture, like our gospel reading for today, the Nunc Dimittis. Please note that these precious words of God through Simeon are used in our communion liturgy after the distribution. It is used as a time when the communicant prays back to God with the same words that God initially used to communicate his Christmas gift. And this is why we use the liturgy, echoing God's saving word, and that word that accomplishes what it promises, peace, love, and forgiveness. Yes, God has given you this precious Christmas gift, not to be put away with the rest of the Christmas decorations, but to be cherished each and every day of your life. And through the Holy Spirit, God will keep you hearing, seeing, and holding on to this gift of Christmas. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.